Blessings to you all. You know, it was many years ago that my husband and daughter passed, and so I went to do a women's conference in Oklahoma. It was only about 3 months after, and I went with a lady that we called Mother Evans, and she and her husband were bishops in Pasadena. And I'm thinking, okay, we had been on the road singing all these years, and I would talk in between the songs, hadn't ministered, hadn't preached or spoken too much. And so the Lord began to lead in that way, and I'll never forget the first message that I brought at that time, and it must have been 19, at the end of 87. They died in November of 87, so it would have been in 88. And I saw the scripture, and maybe I'll show it to you in a little while. And I wasn't going to start there, but I think I will do that right here. And I was reading the scriptures, and the disciples came to Herod. And how many of you, I shouldn't ask you because it would be a ridiculous question to ask you, but I was going to say, if you'd excuse me for being so simple, how many of you have ever gotten some bad news? And it just just frightened you. Okay, Jesus got bad news, and it just didn't even move him at all. Didn't bother him. And it didn't matter what the need was. If it was death, if it was sickness, if it was a disease, if it was demon possession, it didn't bother him one ounce. And so they came to him, and they said, "Oh, Jesus, did you know Herod wants you dead? And Herod is coming to kill you." And Jesus said this. He said, "You go tell that fox." That's old King James language. "You go tell that fox that I do cures and I do healings and I do miracles. And tomorrow, on the third day," he says, "on the third day, I will bring completion." I'll read that to you in just a moment. But I'm telling you, church, I just want to tell you, we are living in the third day. Now, you all know that the Bible says to God, a day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as a day. So we are just moved into the third day from the cross, okay, or from the time Jesus was born. So we're living in the third day because now, you know, we flipped over into 2,000 years and we're headed on down into we're in the third millennium happening now. And yet we're also in the seventh day. And some of you don't have a clue what I'm saying, but just follow me. Remember, a year is a day to the Lord and 1,000 years as a day. Well, it's been 7,000 years since Adam and Eve. And if you want to debate that, that's up to you. I'm not talking about way back there in the beginning when God created. I'm talking about Adam and Eve. 7,000 years since then. And again, you and I are living in both the seventh day from Adam and the third day from Jesus. We're the only generation ever that lived in the seventh day and the third day. And for us to be living in this third day, Jesus said right there when he said, "Go tell that fox," he said, "I've got a message for him. You tell him that on the third day, I will be perfected." And that's what you and I believe, that yes, there's a great falling away in this hour in which we live, and this horrible era that we are looking at. Yes, there's a great falling away, and there's wickedness and strife and craziness. But there's also an outpouring that's beginning to fall upon God's people and anyone who will allow him to do what you just saw here earlier. So we're going to tell that fox a thing or two this morning, okay? God said in the Old Testament, "I am the God that heals you." Sometimes he will use doctors. Sometimes he uses a surgeon. Sometimes he will use medication. And then sometimes he just steps in and says, "I'll just do it myself." And it's just up to him, however he wants to do it. And so it's not saying because you believe in healing or you exercise your faith that you have to be embarrassed to go to a doctor, or you have to be embarrassed to say, well, I'm going to have surgery. No, because you walk by faith, yes. But I'm just telling you today that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And see, the church, the body of Christ, we seem to be the ones with this issue. Now, these people you saw up here today, and when you got saved, or you got healed, or you got desperate, and everything was wild in your life, and you didn't know where you were going to turn, you didn't know how you were going to make it, or what you were going to do, nobody even thought whether or not he might do it or not. When you're in need, you just run for help. And since he's the only one that can heal us, and he's the only one that can redeem us and save us, it's a good thing to get to him. Doctors try to help, and sometimes they do with mental conditions. But Miss Torrey said he healed everything that had happened to me, from mental abuse, sexual abuse, verbal abuse, and he set her free. And you saw it. You saw BJ over here. If anyone was a mess, it was BJ. And you saw what God did for him. See, I just said all that to say he is the same yesterday, Christ Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what he did for these people in the Bible, he still does right now today. You saw it. You've had it. You've experienced it. If you had the floor, you would tell us what he did for you. I wish we could have just had everybody do it. One day we just will. He's just so good. He just helps us and takes care of us. And I love it that he came to destroy the works of the devil. Now, I want you to turn over to Matthew 8. I may read a little bit of it. I might not. Just flow with me, Kathy. I think you've learned how to flow with me by now. Listen. You'll see in this Matthew chapter 8. Oh, you need to read the whole chapter when you get home, because it says so much more than I'm going to give you. But let me tell you something. Jesus, he would heal anywhere, anytime. It did not matter where he was. For instance, look over at Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. When he had come down from the mountains, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him and said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. So where was Jesus? And he'll heal anyone, any color, any social status. Doesn't matter to him. He'll raise the dead. Whatever. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is talking to us today. In churches all over, not just America, but the world, trying to get us to believe that we let these sayings sink down into our head and into our ears and finally into our heart. And get into a deep place in our heart. He healed that leper who came and worshiped him in the valley. I mean, just came off the mountain. Now, if I want to heal in the valley, I'll heal in the valley. And if I want to heal a leper, I can touch him if I want, or I cannot touch him. But the Bible said in that day, a leper had to stay away from people, and they had to cover their mouth like this when they talked. And said, the walking dead, the walking dead. But he just walked up to Jesus. And he says, look at verse 2. He worshiped him. He said, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Verse 3 says, and Jesus put his hand out and touched. He touched this guy. Nobody touched them. This leprosy had eaten part of their limbs off, their hands. Some of them had no ears. I mean, it would just eat away, and their skin was white. Jesus put his hand out, and he touched him, and he said, "Oh, I'm willing. I'm willing. You be clean." And immediately, the leprosy left him. First, the man says, "If you are willing," and Jesus says, "I am willing." Some of you may have asked him that very thing this week. "Lord, are you willing to help me?" You know what his answer is? Today, it's the same as it was yesterday. You said, "Are you willing?" And he says, "I'm willing. I am. I'm willing to help you any way I can with whatever you need." Verse 3. And so he was cleansed, and immediately his leprosy was cleansed. It didn't take a week. It didn't take 5 minutes. Immediately. All right, verse 5. And then Jesus, now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." All right, he healed over here in the valley, came down off the mountain, without a doubt, out the wilderness. Now it says he went to Capernaum. Now, he's in the city. So if he needs to heal you while you're on vacation, he can. If he needs to heal you in the city, he can. If he needs to heal you while you're in New York, he can. Or if you're in Porterville, doesn't matter. So it says he went, and Jesus said, "Oh, I'll come and heal him." And the man knew who he was, and oh, how these, some of them so honored him. "Oh, no, no, you can't come to my house. I'm just not even worthy to have you in my home." He said, "Just speak the word." So Jesus said, "Okay." And so Jesus spoke the word. And then Jesus says this, "I have never seen such faith in Israel." We're healed for a lot of reasons, church. Mainly because Jesus came to fulfill, as he said, "I came to fulfill the words of this book." And you know what he came to do. So in another part, we would read it. "I came to fulfill my Father's will. That's why I healed those blind men." And then here you see, he just spoke the word and sent it over to the house. And this man was a centurion, a very important man. See, he can heal anyone. Anyone at any time. He's no respecter of person. He doesn't care what you did, when you did it, and who you were with. Matters not. He healed a leper. And yet he offered, "I will go to your house," to the centurion, who was probably a sinner. "Oh, I have not seen such faith or such honor. I will speak the word." And of course, that little paralyzed child was healed in Jesus' name. Paralysis? "Oh, that's all right. I'll just take care of that. I'll just heal it. I'll just come and heal him." Look at verse 14. Look at this. "And now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying there sick, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and served them." Isn't that amazing? Where was he at when he healed her? In the house. First, he's outside in the wilderness. Now you go a little farther, and he speaks to the centurion. He doesn't let him go to his house. He healed in the city of Capernaum, and now he heals somebody in the house. So far, just in this one chapter, we read where he healed a leper, paralysis, and now just a fever, a common fever. Peter's mother-in-law had a temperature. And Jesus went into the house. He'll just do it in your house. I mean, he'll just come in your house and heal your loved one because you ask him. So, church, let's get this into our heart. You say, "I've heard that, Pastor, so long, but what if we pray, and what if my loved one dies? Well, if they die, they'll go to heaven if they're saved. So that's good too. But with Jesus in that day, they never did. But it's the same God. Many have been raised from the dead in our lifetime. We haven't seen much, but I'll tell you what, I believe that it's upon us now with this great outpouring. He healed lepers, paralysis, fevers. And then let's go a little bit farther. Look at verse 16. And when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. Okay, he just went from a fever, maybe the flu, healed the one with the fever, and then he goes out to the demon-possessed wild man, and he cast out those spirits with a word and healed how many that were sick? All. He healed all of them that were sick. Why? Why does he still want to heal? Look at verse 17. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. He said, I just need to fulfill the prophecies of my father and the great prophets. Amen. All right, I want you to go over to 35. Let's go to chapter 9, verses 35 and 36. Well, I don't want to miss. I'll go ahead. I don't want to interrupt myself. Okay, chapter 9, verse 35 and 36. And then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. All of them. And he did that in villages and even in the synagogues. See, he'd been healing outside of everything you and I are seeing. He did that in homes and outside and inside. But what I was going to show you is in verse 23 of chapter 8. You don't have to go there. But it says, when he got into the boat, there was a great storm. And what happened? He went to sleep. He was so peaceful that he went to sleep on the boat. And when he did, the disciples go over there, wake him up, said, don't you care that we're perishing? This storm is too big for us. And God, I don't think I'll get through this storm. Some of you may have said that this week. I just don't know how we'll make it through this storm. They woke Jesus up. He went and he spoke to the wind and waves, and they ceased. They just were still, and it was a calm came over it. So he healed in the boat. He delivered. He set free the demon-possessed. He took care of a fever. He took care of a storm, paralysis, lepers. I mean, he cares about it all, church. He just cares about it all. All people, all ages. Look at Miss Joellen, 94 years old. He could have said, well, she's 94. You know, she's getting older. Excuse me, Joellen. She doesn't know it. But she's getting older. You know, she's already had cancer 3 times. My goodness. You know, and heart procedures a couple times. I think she had cancer this year and heart procedures, and it was just a mess all year long. And she'd just call me, Pastor, all is well. I'm doing really good. Because of this same Jesus that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is not worried about your age, where you came from, who your mother is, your daddy is. He does not care. That does not matter. He does not matter. It doesn't matter to him how abused you were, what an alcoholic you were or you are, or drugs or whatever. You may be bound with addiction. Right now, today, he can make you free just like he did BJ and Tori. I mean, sometimes, you guys, we know that on the cross that he died for our sins and his blood covers us and we're born again and we receive that. But then sometimes we get all tangled up and we can believe one thing but not another. Well, I can believe that he saved me. You know, I can believe that he redeemed me. But now I've got to believe for a healing of this thing? Oh, God, how come you haven't come to me yet? How come you haven't done this yet? Hold on, church. Just hold on and keep believing like Joellen. Look at Matthew chapter 9. Look at verse 24. And he said to them, the girl died, by the way. They said, hey, my daughter is dying. So Jesus goes to the house Verse 24, he said to them, "Make room, for the girl is not dead. She's just sleeping." Jesus doesn't like death any more than we do. But because of Adam, it's still on this earth. So I like that word that he says, make room. Another translation says, give place. Give place. Give place to what? Give place to Jesus. Make room for what? For Jesus. Make room for what? For healing. Make room for what? Deliverance. Make room for what? Your freedom. Anything you have need of. Jesus just steps in and it looks like it's all over. The whole thing is dead. And he's like, whoa, whoa, just make room. She's not dead. She's just sleeping. Your situation isn't dead, church. It's not dead. And the reason it isn't dead is because you are living with him. Because the mind of Christ is in you and you have received him as Lord. Amen? So that makes the difference between you and the world. So make room. And then, did I show you 9 and 5? Look at this. Here's the thing. Okay, we choose between the two, but no more choosing between the two. No more choosing between healing and forgiveness. Jesus' words himself. Chapter 9. Put up verse 5. For which is easier? Jesus just healed a paralytic. And he said, well, which was easier to say, your sins are forgiven you? Or to say, rise and walk. Which, Jesus said, look, just tell me, which is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven or get up and walk? You choose. It's just the same. It's the same. So Jesus wants us to see him in all of his power, all of the glory. And I cannot do this without throwing in the woman that had that issue of blood, the bleeding for 12 years. She had gone to all her physicians. None of them could do anything for her. The Bible says she spent all of her money, and she was sick too. And some of you all are there. You've spent all your money. You've got medical bills up to here. And you're still sick. You're sick. You got medical bills. Now, Jesus saw her, and she just came up and touched his. She didn't touch him. She just touched his garment. Actually, you know, he had on one of those priest tallits. It was a tallit, like the prayer cloth, a prayer shawl, and it went under his robe, and it had all these little tassels, yeah, hanging from the bottom. And the Bible says she touched one of the tassels on the bottom of his, underneath his robe. And she said to herself, if I can just touch him, I will be made whole. You know what happened? You know what happened. Immediately, she was whole. He healed a leper, paralytic, an old sinful centurion, Peter's mother-in-law. We don't even know if she was saved or not. I suppose that was Peter's mother-in-law. She was. He healed on the boat. Even the waves and the wind had to obey him. I mean, I'm telling you right now, I have seen this happen so many times. Rodney Howard Brown, some of you call him, you know, he's called the laughing evangelist or the joy evangelist. Which, I mean, I'd say if you're laughing and happy, that'd be pretty good. But anyway, so he's down there in Tampa Bay, Florida. Well, these hurricanes will come through Florida, and I mean, you'll see it on the TV. You'll see it on the weather report. And I mean, here's Florida, you know, and you got Tampa Bay right over here. And right, they're right in the eye of the storm. And old Rodney will tell us people, well, oh, Henry or whatever that thing's name is coming. But now let's make him stop. He will not come near us. Let's get him out of our city. You know, he's from Australia. We won't let him come to Tampa Bay. And I'll watch this. And I'll make sure I watch it another, maybe the next day after they say it's passing. And I'm telling you, they'll say, well, that storm turned off and went east. Or, you know, it just totally turned off. It was just these storms have a mind of their own. No, they don't have a mind of their own. They have to obey the words of Jesus. And you had some people that were bold enough to speak his word. And when they speak his word, then that has to obey too. So, church, we have more authority than we are using. Oh, my goodness. I'll just stop with this because it's just, he said, what's easier to say, be healed or be forgiven? But here's the deal. He is the great physician. He's our healer, our deliverer, the way maker. He's all of it. He's your MD, the great physician, the specialist. He doesn't need x-rays. He doesn't need MRI. He didn't say, well, let's send her over again an MRI of that demon-possessed person, or let's give him an anxiety pill. I'm not saying that's wrong. Sometimes you got to do it. But he said, let me take care of it. My God. Hallelujah. Well, may the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you and keep you safe from all harm and danger. May he bless you with health, blessing, and wealth in the name of the Lord Jesus. May he look down from his habitation from heaven, look upon us, look upon you, shine his countenance upon you, and give you peace in your home, your mind, your heart, your emotions. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all.